Hello, this is the Talking Pictures podcast presented by the Film and Photography Society here at UCLA. Today, we'll be talking about the greatest Miyazaki Ghibli films ever, and we'll be ranking his filmography based on those movies, right? But first, a brief introduction of our hosts, their areas of interest, and their favorite animated films. Hi, I'm Andrew Trung Lee. I will be the only host for this episode. My areas of interest include filmmaking, screenwriting, watching films. I'm a huge cinephile. I also love listening to music, and I have recently gotten into music production. So there you go. And some of my favorite animated films, I'll name you one, very clear in my mind, and it's probably Inside Out. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about, or we're going to be ranking, Miyazaki Studio Ghibli films. So let's go. Miyazaki, if for those of you that don't know, is one of the greatest animated film directors of all time. He draws his own movies. He maps out the stories of his own movies. He's an artistic genius, you know, and so he's made 10 movies with Studio Ghibli, and I'm going to be ranking them from worst to best. But before I do that, I just want to clear up. I don't think Miyazaki has ever made a bad film. So whatever movie that I'm going to mention first as like my least favorite of his is by no means a bad movie. So let's just jump into the list, right? So for number 10, I have Porco Rosso. So this movie was released in 1992. So I think this movie is very endearing with a hilarious concept. And Miyazaki here in this movie fully embraces Italian culture and style through this film, a culture that he's revered in the past. More specifically, Miyazaki's a known sucker for Italian aircrafts. And if I remember correctly, I think the name Studio Ghibli, like the name Ghibli, actually comes from the nickname for the Caproni aircraft. And we see this Italian cultural influence and its prominence in the visuals and the settings of the film. However, Porco Rosso didn't really have the same emotional impact on me as other Studio Ghibli movies, which is why it's at the bottom of my list. But either way, the movie is fantastic because it is an homage or a homage to early aviation, which we will see further in The Wind Rises. And I think this is a perfect transition for number 9, which is The Wind Rises. This was Miyazaki's last film with Studio Ghibli before he retired indefinitely. And so, The Wind Rises, because it is one of Miyazaki's last work with Ghibli, it by far feels like it is his most mature and grounded out of all of his films. And it's funny how I should say grounded, because considering this movie is about flying and aviation, right? And you know, when you watch this movie, you kind of get the idea that it has a strong farewell theme and a strong farewell vibe to it, especially in regards to the main character himself, right? So it's obvious that The Wind Rises is a metaphor for Miyazaki himself, as this was, again, his last stint with Ghibli. And if you've all seen the ending, then I think you can connect the puzzle pieces and sort of figure out that the main character is literally the embodiment of Hayao Miyazaki himself, his love for an art, but also his confrontation or his sort of reconciliation with the idea that he must move on. No matter how much he loves something, he has to move on and live his life. Of course, with the benefit of better technology and more modern styles of filmmaking, The Wind Rises is technically one of the most proficient in Miyazaki's repertoire. So yeah, The Wind Rises is at number 9 for me. Number 8, I have Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind, which I'm sure will piss off a good amount of people. But I will start off by fully acknowledging that this is one of the most important anime movies ever, and this is not a hot take at all. This is something that everybody knows. Because Nausicaä's success actually validated the need for Studio Ghibli to exist in the first place, and also it gave Miyazaki a lot more credit as a filmmaker and as a storyteller and as an animator. So there you go. Yeah, I have no criticisms against the animation of this film besides the fact that it is obviously dated compared to Miyazaki's more recent films. You'd expect that, especially in a movie from the 80s, right? Unfortunately, though, I wasn't as engaged with the story as I'd hoped to be, which may have been the product of me watching this movie when I was already tired and sleepy. So, as a result, it has not had the best place in my memory. In fact, I don't really remember too much of it, but I will absolutely give this movie a second chance, as right now, my feelings towards it are nowhere near as strong as the feelings that I have towards these other movies. So, let's move on to number 7, which is Ponyo. And I don't really have much to say about this movie because it is a children's movie, but, I mean, it's adorable. It's the most kiddish of all of Miyazaki's films, and Ponyo is 2000s Miyazaki. So, expect stellar visuals. Watch this movie for the theme song, of course, the infectious, catchy theme song, and the food porn, I guess. Number six, I have Castle in the Sky. The first thing that I remember from this movie was that I was completely on board with the relationship between the two main characters immediately. I think the inclusion of the pirates in the movie was a very wise decision because, you know, these pirates are still pirates, but they're demonstrated with a strong sense of humanity. Yeah, that was really cool to see. The robots are really, really cool in this movie. The movie's story progressively goes from 0 to 100 in terms of world building and science fiction, and I'm all for it. In the sense that I never really thought this movie would go the way that it went. You know, like, it will surprise you. It surprises you a lot. And most importantly, I love the sweet blend between steampunk and futurist. The movie starts off in, like, a 19th century style aesthetic. The predominance of railroads, railway technologies, simple, quaint little towns. It's a world that feels futuristic, but also doesn't feel futuristic at the same time. And then the movie completely delves into a world of futurism with, as the title suggests, a floating castle in the sky with technology to destroy the entire planet, right? So you go from steampunk to that. It is an eventful movie. Moving on to number five, which is My Neighbor Totoro. I thought it was sweet, imaginative, and wholesome. And it's a film that's only possible through animation. And when I say this, I mean, think about or try to imagine what a live-action Totoro would look like. That would be terrifying, right? It's another example of how some concepts, some ideas, can only work through animation, such as My Neighbor Totoro. I love the emphasis on nature, which is another prominent motif / aesthetic in Miyazaki's films. In this case, in this film, nature is a source of comfort, a source of warmth, a source of pleasure for these characters. The soundtrack for this movie is fantastic. Joe Hisaishi, the composer for many of Miyazaki's films, actually did a rendition of the Totoro theme song with the London Symphony Orchestra. And it's one of my favorite orchestral renditions of any movie theme song, like, ever. So yeah, do check that out. It's beautiful, right? Yeah, my Neighbor Totoro is just the quintessential comfort film. Like, don't we all want a Totoro in our lives? All right, at number four, we have Kiki's Delivery Service. While Kiki's Delivery Service is a very low-stakes movie, I'm a huge sucker for magical films. So when I say that, think Harry Potter. In this movie, I rooted for Kiki all the way through. I loved her character. I felt for her character. I wanted her to win at every step of the way. And I love how this film has a sort of a Raimi Spider-Man 2 narrative in that at one point, Kiki's powers sort of start to fade away. And she must work on reviving her mojo. She must work on revitalizing her confidence in herself to get her powers going again. I also love the town's design. The town feels so nice and warm. Again, Miyazaki always, or not always, but he often prioritizes, or at the very least, places atmosphere and world building on the same pedestal as story. And I love that. I really do appreciate that. All right, so number three is Howl's Moving Castle. I did a bit of reading on this, and I found out that Miyazaki made this movie as a metaphor for his rage with the U.S. invasion of Iraq, which makes a lot of sense when you watch the movie, you realize, or you see Howl's resistance to fighting throughout the movie, his efforts to sabotage both sides of the war. War is bad. Or that's what Miyazaki is communicating with this movie. War, bad. And I think the moving castle itself is a glorious symbol for the shape-shifting uses of technology and how technology can be both destructive and constructive depending on how we use it, which is a nice qualification to Miyazaki's other viewpoints throughout his films where he likes to emphasize the destruction of nature and how technology is usually responsible for that. Here he sort of demonstrates that, hey, look, technology in the right hands can do wonderful things. It can be wondrous, amazing, awe-inspiring. I love that. You know, there's a lot of nuance in Miyazaki's perspective that is so visible throughout his entire filmography. When you watch the movie, you're just thinking, who wouldn't want to live in Howl's Moving Castle? And because this is 2000s Hayao Miyazaki, the animation is so glorious. That leads me to my number two movie, which is Princess Mononoke. Now, I think Princess Mononoke, and many viewers have identified this, is the most obvious and visceral depiction of man versus nature. But I don't want to simplify it to just that. I'll get into that more in a little bit. Princess Mononoke is also very brutal. I think it's his only PG-13 movie. And there are so many severed limbs. There's so much blood. This is one of the last movies that I would show my kids. It really is violent. Like, very violent. Now, Princess Mononoke is the Ghibli movie that would catapult Studio Ghibli further into global popularity and acclaim. And as I said before, I really want to emphasize that in this movie, there is no obvious man-bad, nature-good angle. Instead, each side is so nuanced, so interesting. And in this movie, it's neither man nor nature that is truly evil and insidious, but anger, rage, and revenge are the true demons, the true vices of this world. Princess Mononoke is also the Ghibli film with the best voice acting. Like, whoever voiced Moreau in the original sub version, so good. Such a good voice acting performance. Now, this leads me to my number one pick for the greatest Miyazaki Ghibli movie of all time, and I'm sure you guys have predicted this from the very start, and I'm sure many of you would agree with me on this. Number one, Spirited Away. I think Spirited Away is the closest that Miyazaki has ever been to cinematic perfection. I love how the film isn't so much about moving a plot forward, and you'll notice when you watch this movie as well. Spirited Away allows the audience to just sit and experience the world that it's built, to allow this real-life fantasy to marinate in the heads of the viewers. Whereas so many American movies are concentrated on just moving a plot forward, it's gotta hit this beat by this time period, it's gotta hit this beat by this time period. Miyazaki says no to all of that. Let's say the main character is traveling from one location to the other. Miyazaki's not gonna cut out the entire journey from one place to the other and just for the sake of moving the plot forward and bringing the character to a different location immediately. He wants, or the film ensures that the audience and the viewer sees everything. That is how you truly experience and appreciate a fantastical world in a movie. Spirited Away's soundtrack is also Joe Hisaishi's best work yet, and it's like not even close. You know, I mean, One Summer's Day, obviously great. The most iconic thing to come out of this movie. But for me, I'm also such a sucker for Spirited Away's reprise theme song. And Yumi Kuruma's Always With Me in the end credits, that is how you end a movie musically. The music in Spirited Away is unmatched. It is one of my favorite soundtracks, maybe my favorite of all time. The animation in Spirited Away is also breathtaking. It marks the beginning of this 2000s era of animation where everything becomes more crisp, but there's so much detail infused in every frame of the movie, and it's just, Miyazaki never has to incorporate so much detail into his frames, but he just does for the sake of art, for the sake of experience, for the sake of making something animated, by the way, something 2D, making it feel real and making it feel alive. And what makes Spirited Away so beautiful and so universal is that it is such a simple film. It's about the power of love, right? It's about the immortality of connection. And most importantly for me, this is what I felt from it, it's trying to pinpoint that feeling that you get whenever, where like some things are never really forgotten or some things just feel familiar for some reason. You know, like you visit a place that you swore you've never ever visited before, and something about it just feels familiar and feels like home. And the same goes for people. You know, they feel familiar in some weird way, even if you've never met them. Spirited Away is the quintessential movie magic film. When I think of movie magic, I think of Spirited Away. So yeah, that's it. That is my top 10 Hayao Miyazaki Studio Ghibli movies ranked. You know, I wish I got to see The Castle of Cagliostro. It's not a Studio Ghibli movie, but it is a Hayao Miyazaki movie. It is his first, I believe. And I've heard good things about it too, but I haven't had the chance to see it. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much to Phoebe, Dylan, and Megana. And thank you to Anu for giving me the opportunity to host this episode, especially by myself. I really wanted to try a Bill Burr style of podcasting. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.